Good evening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of the show. Welcome, Outcasts. We begin tonight with an article from the Babylon Bee. To protect against nuclear fallout, Dr. Evil recommends wearing 3 masks. Beloved health expert Dr. Evil has made his way into the spotlight again, this time with new recommendations for keeping safe during a nuclear strike should Putin do the unthinkable. Quote, should we face a catastrophe, a nuclear war scenario, it's important to stay protected from the nuclear fallout, said Dr. Evil in his trademark Dr. Evil voice.
Oh, yes.
To keep all the nuclear fallout out of your nose and mouth, you should probably wear at least 3 masks, maybe even 4. The science isn't clear right now, but I would say at least 3, maybe 4, 5, 6 masks, and another one over your eyes too. Dr. Evil went on to explain that proper social distancing will also be essential, as it will prevent your nuclear fallout from jumping to another person. He said, ideally, everyone should probably have their own personal fallout shelter just to maintain proper social distancing. Dr. Evil assured everyone that if they follow the science by listening to his every command, they will be okay. Probably. But also probably not. Completely unrelated news, that is, the NIH has approved $12 million in funding for experiments on irradiated mutant creatures. All is well. We're in good hands. By the way, I'm competing with Slippers right now. If you'd rather listen to him than me, he's giving an address to the nation, which started 2 minutes ago, which means, based on him waking up from his nap, he'll probably start giving the speech in about 3 minutes. Can't wait to hear what he has to say. Feeling so safe. Pat Robertson, Putin is being compelled by God to invade Ukraine and fulfill Bible prophecy. This is from the Raw Story. As Russia's invasion of Ukraine has blown into a conflict of horrific atrocities against civilians, nations around the world have lined up to condemn it, even historically neutral countries like Switzerland. But former televangelist Pat Robertson, who came out of his retirement to weigh in on the situation, sees something even grander in the whole affair. According to him, Vladimir Putin is being willed by God to conduct the invasion as a way of triggering the end times. He said, quote, I think you can say, well, Putin's out of his mind, and yes, maybe so. But at the same time, he's being compelled by God. He went into Ukraine, but that wasn't his goal. His goal was to move against Israel, ultimately. God is getting ready to do something amazing that will be fulfilled, said Mr. Robertson. And what Putin is doing by moving as he is to set up Ukraine as a staging ground for one of the armies, and then across is Turkey with Erdogan, and you've got between them the darn Dallas era, and it's going to happen. So I say that what's coming up, is Putin crazy? Is he mad? Well, perhaps. But God says, I'm going to put hooks in your jaws, and I'm going to draw you into this battle, whether you like it or not. And he's being compelled after the move into the Ukraine, he's being compelled to move to get a land bridge and then across into Turkey, and then watch what happens next. Read your Bible, because it's coming to pass. This article says, contrary to Robertson's claim, Turkey, although often friendly with Russia, has not backed Russia's war and is firmly supporting Ukraine at the moment. A couple things here. One, I know, Pat Robertson not always the most credible. Two, is there any truth to it? Gog, Magog, what's it all about, Alfie? I did a little bit of a deep dive, and if you don't mind, I'm going to put on my minister's collar for a few minutes. And brothers and sisters, it is the evangelist L.A. Austin. Before we begin, I'd like to take a collection. Let me get a drink too while I'm at it. I have a prophecy I've just received. I'm not saying it's from the Lord, but I'm saying it's a prophecy. If you were to buy Morningstar's Tale at morningstarstale.com, it would make Mr. Austin very happy, and his dog Stormy the Saint would not starve to death. Think about it. Buy the book Morningstar's Tale at morningstarstale.com. There's a link for Amazon. I'm such a whore. Ezekiel chapter 38. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Magog, Meshach, and Tubal were all sons of Japheth, who was one of the three sons of Noah. Japheth and his family migrated to the area that we now know as modern-day Russia. And that's in Genesis 10, chapter 2 to 3. Gog is a person, G-O-G. Gog is a person who rules over the land of Magog. Magog is Russia. Magog means prince of Rosh. Rosh is the old root word for the land of Russia. And if you look at a map, if you go directly north from Jerusalem, you'll intersect Moscow. In this chapter, or the entire chapter of Ezekiel chapter 38, God informs Gog and Magog, quote, you will come from your place in the north, which means the uttermost part of the north. What's north of Jerusalem? Moscow. What's north of Russia? Nothing. Meshach is the old name for the capital of Western Russia, which we now know today as Moscow. Tubal is identified as a city in Siberia. So, you have Gog, Russia, king of the north. The king of the south is the Arab-African coalition. Ezekiel chapter 38, 5 and 6 identifies the rest of the nations that are dragged into the battle between Gog and Magog versus the kings of the south, Persia. Cush and Put will be with them, and their shields and helmets, and also Gomer with all their troops, and Beth Toma from the north with all of its troops, the many nations with you. Persia is a reference to modern-day Iran. Cush is present-day Ethiopia and the black nations of Central Africa. Put and Libya, located in northern Africa. Gomer, the people who settled in Germany. And Togarmah is Asia Minor, Turkey. Okay, so all of these nations basically align with Russia in this chapter against the king of the south and later against the Antichrist. I don't think anybody really understands the timing of this, if this battle, the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 38 happens before or after the introduction of the Antichrist on the world scene. Let's just say, for argument's sake, it's before. Then I can see a distinct possibility of this occurring, because the Ukraine could be a perfect staging location for a final descent into Israel. Really, all you need to do at this point is pay attention and pray about it. If you see a development in the next week, month, or months, or year, Putin starts talking about making a left turn and heading south, and all of a sudden Israel gets caught in the fray, then you know there's a good possibility that Ezekiel chapter 38 is about to come to fruition, which is astounding that we're living in this day and age. And I just reread the chapter again. I'm not getting a specific time period. Some say it's after the beginning of the seven-year tribulation, some say before. I don't know. However, I think for once, Pat Robertson is making what could be an astute observation. But then again, maybe not. Nobody really knows. Time will tell. I sent my daughter a text today. I said, they found the cure for COVID. Just start a war. By the way, from the Expo, while you've been distracted by Russia's invasion, the UK government released a report confirming the fully vaccinated now account for 9 out of every 10 COVID-19 deaths in England. The latest data published by the UK Health Security Agency confirms deaths are rising dramatically among the triple vaccinated population, while declining steadily among the non-vaccinated population in England, with most recent figures showing the fully vaccinated accounting for 9 in every 10 COVID-19 deaths over the past month, and the triple vaccinated accounting for 4 out of every 5. So even though these are, of course, dark days for the citizen of Ukraine, if you watch the mainstream news or read a mainstream paper, you would be forgiven for thinking the plight of the Ukrainians is currently the only event taking place in the world. The Russian invasion is being aired in an endless 24/7 loop. BBC, Sky News, everything about COVID. No one's talking about the real story. With that being said, the UK Health Security Agency published a weekly COVID-19 vaccination surveillance report, the most recent published Thursday, February 22nd. I've got the chart in front of me, and it's astounding. They're dying from the jab. They're not dying it's never been isolated. Was it created in a lab? Maybe. I'm going to read a letter from a listener. I'm not going to say your name. He writes, whenever you bring up the relationship thing, and I did last night, I was talking about relationships, I can't help but think about my own experience, both the good and the bad, mostly bad. If I didn't know what the scriptures tell us about how we're all born into sin and depravity, it would be all more confusing and hopeless. Even with being born again and accepting Christ as Savior, while I was still in my late teens, navigating through various girlfriends and wives over the years has been extremely stressful and exasperating, to say the least. How ill-equipped I was to face these life challenges, and how little did I realize early on how society has twisted and contorted the roles of men and women to the point of being opposite of what God intended. And then there's the government control and manipulation, which further makes functioning as a man, a husband, and a father a complete impossibility. Most guys don't even bother with getting married these days and proceed with fathering children outside the protection of marriage is supposed to offer. This is nothing short of insanity. Anyway, I so look forward to Christ's soon return for us and our children, grandchildren, who are hopefully saved. It is difficult to see how we're going to see any slowdown in the progression of evil. God help us get through and prosper during these coming days. By the way, I just came across this recent discussion about the firmament, which includes a reference to the book of Enoch. I think you'll find it interesting, especially concerning the sprites coming down from the firmament. Did you know about these blessings? No, I've never heard of that. But I will check into it after the show. S-P-R-I-T-E-S. I feel the same way. I was actually listening to a Seven Dust song before the show started. When I went through my second divorce, which was the most horrific event of my life, it was awful, in 2007, I was listening to a CD called Alpha by a group, Seven Dust. really hard, angry rock and roll. I just happened to be listening to a song that was somewhat mellow. It was a three-part song. It started off real hard, then medium rock, and then the end of the song was really soft. It was a reconciliation and forgiveness. Great song. What he just wrote, it's exactly how I feel. About 2 o'clock this afternoon, I just kind of gave up. I took the dog for a walk. I was marketing the book a little bit. Got a couple emails from haters. Yeah, that's just par for the course. I get emails all the time from people basically telling me I'm an idiot. But I've been dealing with it for so long. Sometimes I'll answer back. Most of the time it just goes to spam. But about 2 o'clock, maybe 3, I just looked at Stormy and said, you know, I'm done. I've had enough already. And I didn't get up till 9:30. So I think I napped for about an hour. And then we went for another walk. This world just wears you down. It's the reason why old people are so cranky. They can just see it. They're like an old tire that's just worn and plugged and lost most of its tread. This whole thing in Ukraine, it's just irritating, annoying that I'm even talking about it. And I'm very thankful I don't live there. And I'm very thankful for all the blessings God's given me in my life, including the opportunity to have a chat with you each and every night, 5 nights a week. It is a blessing. I just don't. The allure, the shine, the glow of this life is gone. This world does not interest me at all. I love my dog. Oh, and I love my kids. I love a good cup of coffee in the morning. And just sitting out in the back room and watching the birds and the bird feeder. But other than that, there's really not much left of this place to tempt me. All the furniture I own, for the most part, is used. I don't have an interest in materialism, per se, outside of maybe getting some acreage in a truck. Other than that, more than anything, it's just annoying and boring. I'm tired of reading articles from Dr. Evil and the lies about COVID and the lies about the vaccine, Ukraine, Russia. There is a part of me that just wants to go sell this house and move to North Carolina. I've been looking at real estate there. You can get a decent house on about 6 acres for $150,000. And just call it a day. But I don't think that's what God wants me to do. And maybe that's the reason I keep doing the show. I don't know how many times I've almost quit this show. I just keep doing it because I think I'm supposed to right now. But the day will come. Just not today. Like he said, anyway, I so look forward to Christ's soon return for us and our children and our grandchildren, who are hopefully saved. It's difficult to see how we're going to see any slowdown in the progression of evil. God help us get through and prosper during these coming days. Amen. I'll go for my walks, drink coffee, and chat with you 5 nights a week. That's enough for now. The perfect storm.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Effect. We don't want to fix his hair every day. We don't want to fix his hair every day. Museum in France removes waxwork of Boris Poupin after it was damaged by visitors. The Grevin Museum is now considering replacing the likeness of Mr. Poupin with a model of the Ukrainian President Zelensky. It's really a lifelike version of Poupin. It's kind of weird. Anyway, a museum in Paris has removed its wax figure of Russian President Boris Poupin after it was damaged by visitors in protests against the invasion in Ukraine. The museum is now considering replacing the wax work, which was created in 2000 with a model of Zelensky. The director said, "Today it's no longer possible to present a character like Mr. Poupin. For the first time in the museum's history, we're withdrawing a statue because of historical events currently underway. Plus, he's looking disheveled as he was vandalized over the weekend. They just don't want to keep fixing him." Canada Bill, that is Canadian Bill, would ban suspected internet to commit hate speech online. Remember the movie Minority Report? A proposed bill would penalize Canadians if they are simply suspected of intending to post hate speech online. In other words, the bill would allow courts to punish Canadians for things they haven't even done yet or might not even do. The bill was noticed by a tech insider who also pointed out the bill's fuzzy and circular definition of hate speech. In fact, Canadian media outlets first reported the bill in June, but it's not under further scrutiny after Canada's government, the heavy-handed response to the recent Ottawa truck protests. The Global News of Canada reported that Bill C-36 would allow a person to appear before a provincial court if the person fears that the other will commit a hate offense, which includes speech. Critics of the bill said it would infringe on free speech. Gee, do you think so? That revelation from Klaus Engelschwab, the video where he admitted that half of Trudeau's cabinet are members of the World Economic Forum, basically in his back pocket, of course, including Trudeau. It makes perfect sense. If you really want to see how this one world order, fourth industrial revolution, is going to roll out, don't look to Canada, Russia. Look to Canada, or rather, don't look to China. Canada is where it's going to be. It seems they've got more people in the back pocket of the WEF than any other country. And most Canadians are rather progressive. Canada, in many ways, is just California North. If you exclude Alberta, Calgary, Edmonton, that's more Texas oil and gas. Maybe Newfoundland, but for the most part, Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa. Yeah, it's very liberal, and I could see them being the first country in the world to really adopt all of the dictates of the World Economic Forum. Coming up in the second half of the show, there's a gentleman who had a, I guess you could call it a prophetic vision. 42 years ago, which relates directly to the end days and what might happen sooner than later. And I want to play that for you because it's one of these clips that people always talk about but don't know who he is or what exactly it's all about. And I'll explain that coming up after the break. His name is Ken Peters, and he gives a full testimony of making it through the end days and what happened and what the Lord showed him. It's an astounding testimony, and I've probably listened to it at least two or three times in the last couple of weeks. There's something about it. I like the dude. Don't forget, you can also pick up the book. It's MorningstarsTale.com. I think I made maybe $90 last month. It pretty much takes care of the website. I don't know. I'm almost getting to the point with the book where I want to divorce it. I'm tired of talking about it, and I know you're sick of hearing about it.
Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Another day in the neighborhood. Ken Peters received a dream over 35 years ago, the night he was called to be a prophet. This is the only time he's ever told this dream anywhere. I got a hold of the clip. He lived through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation until he was beheaded by a scimitar sword in a face-up position. He tells what it was like for Christians. Christians were monitored by their TVs that saw and heard them in their own home. He was shown the mark of the beast, what it looks like, what the Antichrist looks like, and how he spreads his message on a large building-sized screen. Many events in the dream have already come to pass, confirming his accuracy. Out of 150 speakers and 300 DVDs, this clip continues to be the most popular. Again, this is from 35 years ago, and he outlines the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Whenever you're ready, Mike.
At this point, another unusual thing happened, this outpouring of blessing and this outpouring, so to speak, of persecution began to really be stepped up. Well, I saw many penitentiaries all over the states of the United States, especially concentrated in California. I was on my way to conduct another business transaction, and I ran into an individual. A very strange thing happened at this point. He was very, very excited and began to talk to me about something he had just experienced. This man said to me, Ken, I introduced myself to him. He was very excited. He said, have you got your identification mark? And I said, I don't know what you mean. What's an identification mark? He says, they've just enacted a new identification mark. And by the way, this started with a voluntary implementation first. You did it voluntarily first. This man told me you ought to get yours done real soon to avoid the hassle, because soon everyone, they say, will have to have this to conduct business.
Once implanted in your body, it could identify you as you pass through the airport, open the door to your home. It could even be used to buy groceries at the supermarket. Now, your driver's license, passport, keys, and wallet are all inside your body, contained in something the size of a grain of rice. This chip in your wrist won't just change your life. One day, it might just save it. And that's why this little RFID microchip is the next big thing.
Okay, this guy was very excited about this. He was very happy because he said, hey, we won't have to use these stupid cards anymore. At this point, I saw a very, very, again, unusual thing with this man's hand, this agitation. I got very frightened, and something spoke inside of my stomach and said to me, get out of here as fast as you can. At this point, I began to run to my house as fast as I could. While I was running, I want to read to you what I heard in my spirit. I'll read very quickly from Revelations 13. I didn't know these were scriptures. I was hearing this inside of my stomach. He causes all, verse 16, chapter 13 of Revelations, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save that he has the mark. Now, I'm running as fast as I can back to my house because I'm realizing, oh my gosh, my wife is there, she's alone. And I got caught by one of these strange-looking police trucks, by these military police. They knew my name. Even though I didn't tell them my name, they knew my name. And they took me to this government building. It was a large building, and took me into a room, and there was my wife and the older gentleman that I began to call the evangelist. And so they knew things about us, and they took us into this room. I was in there with my wife and this older gentleman. They began to politely interrogate us. They began to ask us to, you know, be cooperative, come into this agreement with this new government, and everything will be fine for you. Well, my wife, she will get in the devil's face. And she and this older man began to preach to these people that were trying to convince us of this new alignment of this government. So they took us out of there and put us in another room, and now it was a lot of mind control interrogation. What happened was my mind, I could feel pulled in almost to this order and say, you know, if we just don't cause any trouble, it'll be okay. That's how my mind began to function. But yet the older gentleman and my wife began to just fight this with all their spiritual strength and challenge it with scriptures. It was amazing to me. The capturing of us was almost as though they had planned it out. Some strange things that I saw right before this happened to me was that all the nations of the world were as one. There was no longer any sovereign individual nations. Continents were no longer divided into countries, but continents were divided into regions. And one thing I want to tell you about this time, that the awareness of God being on the global scene at this time was nearly impossible to detect. The global order had no presence of God in it whatsoever. Evil at this point in the dream had begun to pervade every aspect of society. When we were being interrogated, the mind control was phenomenal. And then because my wife and this older gentleman kept being very bold and kind of in your face with them, they took us out and they took us into this very, very long corridor. In this corridor was thousands of people lined up. And every 5 or 6 minutes, these people would walk forward and take a step. We had been in this line for a long time when people would barge in through the doors on the side of this corridor and begin to grill people and tell them to renounce their faith. They would never use the name Jesus. They would never use the name Jesus Christ. They would never use the name God. But they would say, you should renounce your faith in Him while you can still live. And your faith is empty. And it was a blasphemous kind of challenging that these people were bringing against the people in the line. And every so often somebody would crack. They would just collapse and they would drag them away and they would renounce their faith in Christ. Eventually, we made it through a battery of three double doors. After the last double door, we were put into like a holding cell kind of a room. And they opened the doors very quickly and took this older gentleman into the room. And I don't know what happened to him at this point of the dream because they shut the doors very quickly. 6 minutes or so later, they opened the doors, this time wide open, and what I saw was the most empty feeling I think I've ever experienced in my whole life. I saw this man that was a very, very big man. I was sharing earlier in the tour that he was tall like a professional basketball player, but he was very big like a professional football player. He was an extremely large man, and he had a big hood, like a satin hood, over his head with eye holes to see out of. My wife was in front of me, and they began to tell her she could renounce her faith and live. And now I realize what was happening, because this man was standing there with a huge sword. And it was a very, very frightening-looking sword. And then I saw this table that was a little bit longer than the average human being and a little bit wider. And they, my wife said she wasn't going to renounce her faith in Jesus. She began to preach powerfully, and she began to just rebuke the devil and you name it. I mean, she was doing it. And so they got angry and strapped her down on this table. By the way, it was like this, face first. So she was looking up to the sky with this man standing behind her with this sword. He took the sword and chopped her head right off, right in my presence. I saw it. I have purposely asked the Lord tonight, please don't let me bawl up here. Please don't let me weep and cry. Because what I saw happen to my wife, it gripped me, and it still grips me to this day. And I have seen my wife literally become this person that lived in this dream. I had just witnessed my wife being executed. And I was very grieved, but to be very truthful with you, I was more afraid of what was going to happen to me next than the fact that my wife had just died. And I know that sounds very selfish, but if I told you any differently, I'd be lying and God would deal with me. I was more concerned about my life than her dying right then. I was very, very afraid. And I knew that now I'm going to die. And I knew that in my mind, I could not do this. I was not going to make it. I was paralyzed. And my mind began to torment me and almost became literally blanked out. My stomach began to shout out loud that, Jesus, please help me. I'm afraid. But the message couldn't get out because my mind was paralyzed. And it was as though I had the flu, an extreme case of the flu. My teeth were chattering and I was shaking with chills in this line. I could not process my thoughts whatsoever. It was terrible, and although it only lasted for maybe 5 or 6 minutes, it seemed like hours because of the extreme weight of this attack on me. I began to really try to cry out in my stomach. All I can tell you is I knew it was my spirit now, but in the dream it was just a war in my stomach and my mind. And finally, it's as though something penetrated out of my stomach into my mind, and I was able to spiritually call on Jesus and say, I'm afraid, Jesus, please save me, help me. At the very instant that communication spiritually happened, I felt a hand grip my shoulder. As soon as this hand gripped me, I got very warm and the chills left me, and it was as though my mind could now see and kind of comprehend clearly what was going on. But this was a very solid hand, and it gripped my shoulder, and warmth and peace began to flood through me. After a few moments, I turned back, and there was the Lord Jesus Christ standing behind me. And then all of a sudden, he looked me in the eyes. He looked at me very, very sternly. It wasn't like a reproof or a conviction, but it was more of just him looking and peering into my life. And the most unusual thing occurred to me. At the very instant I looked at him, his eyes were not brown or green or blue or anything like that. They appeared to be red like fire, and they were just looking clearly through my whole life. Somehow at that moment, I was able to realize that him looking at me was actually looking through me, and he knew everything of me. He knew my strengths. He knew my weaknesses. He knew every lie deep down inside of me. He knew every deception. My whole being, by him looking into me, was exposed to me. It was very, it was a very intense moment. I wish I could say that seeing Jesus at that moment made me very happy. It didn't. It made me very fearful. I understand now what the fear of the Lord is because of that experience. I've had the Lord visit me three times in my life, the resurrected Christ, and each time He's manifested Himself, it was never a tiptoe through the tulips for me. So it's not this we're pals and buddies kind of a thing. I did not see that. I saw Him in His awesomeness, and when He looked through me, He knew every nook and cranny. And about a few moments after realizing this, realizing my own depravity, He spoke to me and He looked sternly into my eyes and He said, "Fear not, my son, for death will never hold you." And then instantly it was like a kind of a courage flooded through me. I wish I could tell you that I got very bold and preached a great sermon and got everybody saved, but I didn't. It was just courage to go through what was before me. And so these men strapped me down now. And this individual, by the way, before they strapped me down, they asked me one more time, "You can renounce Him now." And I said, "No, He's the Lord of all." And I knew that He had saved me in the dream because of the prayer and the thing with that older man. But when I looked at him, I knew now. And I can tell you, folks, I know for a certainty He is the Lord of lords and the King of every king. Amen. And I'm telling you, where the scriptures say, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess His lordship, whether in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. When I saw Him, there is not one knee, there is not one tongue that will not confess His lordship, regardless of what side of the coin they are, when He reveals Himself to them. Every knee will bow. I know that the God of the universe that revealed Himself to me is greater than any demonstration that man can concoct. Amen. The Creator of heaven and earth gave us the wisdom to make those stupid bombs. He is not going to be outdone by His creation. And I saw that about Him. And then they strapped me down and they said, "You can renounce Him." And I said, "No, I can't renounce Him because He's the Lord of all. And He should be your Lord." That was my great sermon. When this man cut my head off, as soon as the very instant I saw the sword coming down and it touched my neck, the moment that the blade touched my neck, I was gone. I felt no death whatsoever. And all of a sudden, I was up. It wasn't a ceiling as this high, but it was quite high. And I was standing there and again holding a person's hand. And I was looking down upon the scene. Even though this hand was holding me, I didn't know who it was. I was actually more interested in seeing me dead there than the fact that I was actually delivered from the death. And then all of a sudden, I looked down and realized, my gosh, it's another one of these rugged hands holding my hand. And I looked up and it was the Lord again, the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, it doesn't matter what you go through here. It doesn't matter what trial you're experiencing. I can tell you that whatever trial you go through, even if it's being brought to a point where you have to lay down your life, it is worth it. Because of what I saw in my Savior. At this point now, it went from a stern, powerful, all-knowing God to a God who was holding my hand that gave me the understanding that now I was His son, I was His brother, I was His brethren, that He was not ashamed to call me His brethren. And I had an understanding all of a sudden that I was equal with Him, not as God, the deity, not as Jesus, the Son, but as a son of God, not the Son of God, the first begotten, the only begotten, but a son. That it no longer was a fearful thing for me to stand in His presence, but there was immense acceptance. Folks, there was immense understanding. I had clear understanding of things now that I can preach with great fire, like the scripture that says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." I never weep at funerals ever since this dream. Never. Because I know in the presence of the living God that when His children are coming through death, it's precious to Him. I saw Him take me through death. I saw Him spare me this feeling of death, even though I died. And then when He gathered me into His bosom, so to speak, in the death, He showed me that, as the scripture says, it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Folks, at that moment, I was like Jesus. In image, in faculty, in understanding, I could any longer see any of my weakness. None of my frailties were known to me any longer. I was completely delivered out of all of that. Truly, to be in the presence of the Lord is to be like Him. Folks, it's worth it. You know what? It's worth laying down this life and all of its pleasures and all of its goals and all of its aspirations just to gain Christ. I know what Paul meant now when he said, I have considered it all loss to gain Christ. I completely understand that now. It's not hidden from my understanding anymore. Each time he's come to me, the understanding gets more and more powerful of the value of being hid in Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden, the man with the hood pulled off his hat, his covering, and threw it down and said, I will not kill another one of these people. And then the dream was over.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get you on your feet again. What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.